Welcome to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm B, and I'm originally from California.
Absolutely. California, where are you from today?
So now I reside in Las Vegas. I've been here since 2009.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Cali girl originally.
Okay, perfect. And obviously I found you. Well, we're going to take a deeper dive here in a second, but kind of give everybody the quick 30-second rundown of, you know, I found you through your event planning company. And how did you get into that? How long have you guys been doing that for?
Yeah, so I've been doing it, I want to say about 5 years now. Something that started, you know, obviously it was just something that I always loved and enjoyed doing for family and friends. And my fiance was actually the one that said, hey, you know, why don't you do this as a business? You're really good at it. He saw the potential. So he planted that little seed there. And basically, once that seed was planted, you know, I just started looking more into it. And I knew it was something that I was going to enjoy and have a passion for. And then it kind of just started from there. But the original idea did come from him. But for me, always liking to entertain and plan. And I was always the one planning the family events or the get togethers and doing theme events. So that's kind of where that all started and why I got into this business.
Yeah. And I can't wait to take a deeper dive into that, especially just like the support from your fiance and then making the jump from employee to employer, right? In a non-traditional route or non-linear route, right? Is going to be so awesome to hear about. But I guess just we can kind of start off by you saying you're a Cali girl. Have you noticed the air quality out today? Like, has that affected you at all?
So as soon as I walked out this morning to drop off my daughter at school, I was like, is there a fire? That's because I could just, you know, it just smelled really bad. The air quality, obviously, you can see it. And then it dawned on me, obviously, I've been knowing about these fires in Cali. I was actually speaking to one of my friends. She lives in Fontana. And she mentioned that I guess their kid, her two, her sons or whatnot, their school suspended, you know, school for the past 2 days. And it's pretty, the air quality is pretty bad out there. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary, but it happens every year. It's just unfortunate.
It's funny though, because obviously just being from SoCal too, like it is a yearly thing, but this one out here was particularly bad. Just being in Vegas, I could taste it. I was like, oh my God, I'm like, even my dog was like, hey, let's go inside. Like, let's not be outside today.
I saw people with masks and everything at the school actually. And I was like, that's not a bad idea. You know, it might be, you know, far away from us, but we're definitely getting that air. So,
So I guess we can kind of just start at the beginning a little bit. Like, were you an only child growing up or did you have siblings? What was your kind of family dynamic like?
Yeah, so I'm a family of five siblings.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I have three older brothers. I was the first girl after three boys.
Okay.
And then I have a younger sister that's 7 years younger than me.
Yeah, five siblings. I don't even know what to call that. That's not even like middle. You guys are just a team at that point, right?
Basketball team. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, a basketball team. Yeah. So I grew up with three older brothers. Again, you know, like I said, mentioned before, born and raised, you know, in Los Angeles. We kind of, you know, lived everywhere, the LA area. But as you can imagine, growing up with a household full of boys was definitely something different, you know. One of them lives here in Vegas. The other two are in California.
Okay. And what about your baby? Yeah, your baby sister lives where, in Cali too?
She lives here in Vegas. Yeah,
okay,
baby sister
is
here.
It's one of those things too, to where you can tell kind of how people, like, just their vibe off of just honestly their childhood is so important, right? Like, were you an only child? Did you have older brothers that beat you up a bunch, right? Like, how sensitive are you? And it's just fun, right? It's just funny to hear about all things like that. What did your parents do growing up for work?
Yeah, so my dad, he's always been like a truck driver in different aspects. I always worked warehouse, truck driving, but it's always been a driving job, you know. Till this day, he still does that. But he now drives for like an adult daycare. So, picking up and dropping off senior citizens. So he
Oh,
just went a
gotcha,
different
gotcha.
route. So yeah, went from like warehouse work to like, okay, let me just be a driver.
I like
Yeah.
that.
So he's always done that his whole life. My mom actually retired like 20 years ago. Obviously she's always worked, she's had different jobs like growing up. She's always liked to work hard to just to kind of take us out, spoil us, as you can say, because come on, it's five of us.
Yeah.
That's a lot of spoiling. So, but she, she's retired now. So now she obviously enjoys just being with the grandkids. Like I said, we're five, and she has nine grandchildren. So her
Yeah.
hands are full with kids
I
and
like
grandkids.
that. That's awesome. And honestly, family is so important, and we're going to kind of touch on that. That's where I'm kind of driving this conversation here shortly, but it's the support aspect that I think is so important. And honestly, I would say in just typical, it doesn't really matter what your culture is or what your ethnicity is. I think definitely in America, support is kind of starting to take on a different definition. And what I mean by that is, like, definitely my dad or my grandpa, like, support was you were just trying to survive, right? Like, you were just trying to, let's just go pay the bills. I don't care what it is, your dad, let's drive this truck. I don't care where you need me to take it to. We just need to make it happen, right? And
Exactly.
then now, as we're continuing to move the needle forward, support has actually had to take on a, like, real role of, like, hey, it's love, right? Like, hey, it's, I'm here for you if you need something. I'm not here to, like, beat you up or judge you. It's like real support. And I think, how do you define support within your family? And sort of what are some of the best ways that you found that you love to support people or that you receive support? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so with our family, we've always been supportive of, anything that we have gone through or wanted to do, like new ventures. I mean, we've always been a supportive family, and that's always been great, in that sense. When, there's what they say, sometimes there's those ups and downs, and when you're down, that's when, you might need that support. Of course, you need that backup or whatnot. But you're right, like there is a big difference, right? Because there is support, like where it's like a handout and just kind of makes it easy for you. And so you kind of never learn to kind of do things on your own if there is always those handouts. So for me, that type of support is not good. And it's been for as far as like my parents and like family wise, I can say my parents have always been supportive in the sense of, hey, if something is needed, we have you, like, but it's never been to that extreme where we've taken advantage of that, in that sense, where because that's where kind of for me, I draw that line of support. Where, hey, like I can be there for you when I need it, but don't get used to it, because there is a lot of people that do, and that's kind of taking advantage of that support. And so that's not, that's not that good support. But they've always been supportive. I mean, from anything that I've wanted to do, I've always been independent and kind of want to do my own thing. I've always had that in me. I always knew, even from a kid, I remember I would go to my dad's soccer games, and I would have my mom purchase like items for me to sell because I wanted to make my own money. And I would go to the park and I would be like, hey, I'm selling these little keychains, whatever, to like the kids. And but so the entrepreneur in me has always been there. I just never saw past that, I guess, so but they've always supported like every decision that I've ever made. Always been there in a sense of, hey, like if you need something. Or even now, I think I have maybe the most support from them because I have a daughter, and it is really difficult to juggle work or career, business, with the time with my daughter. If I have to, do an event, okay, who's watching, or things. And so that's where the support comes in, right? Like that's where, yeah, I can easily pay a babysitter, like any, like everyone does or whatnot. But it's really nice to have that trust and just have that support and know, hey, I know you have an event to go and set up. Callie can stay with it. Callie is my daughter, by the way, which is us.
Yeah.
The business is after her name. That's where the
Oh,
Callie
okay.
Suite Events came in. So they'll support me in the way that I need it, right? Which is taking care of what I can't take.
Oh, 1 second. Did I lose you? Oh no.
Even ask,
Let's.
are you frozen? Oh, okay, got it. If that
Okay,
even
we're
answers
good.
the question,
I got
I
you.
went
Yeah.
around.
No, it's perfect. And honestly, kind of where I was trying to take that was the new way that I think, or just the best way that I've found support is when it's non-transactional, right? And I think that bleeds over into business as well.
There you go.
Every endeavor that I do, every partnership that I try to build, I give. You know what I mean? I'm not necessarily, which I, and also when there are instances where, yeah, you are down, you do need to take that help, right? But the importance of putting people first in your business and kind of, is that something that you've had to learn over time, or have you always sort of been that way?
I've always been that way. I think that for me, it's always wherever support was ever needed, I was always that person, in any relationship, friendship, it doesn't matter. I feel like that's very, very important. And you're right, it's not a transactional thing. It's more so like I'm gonna be there because that's the type of person I am, versus oh, I'm gonna be there because I want something in exchange, right? There's a big difference. And from just like what you mentioned earlier, just overall supporting in different ways that's not transactional. That's very important. But I have been that friend, or that partner to support you and what I can do for you. I'm not gonna do it for you, but I will definitely be there and support you. And I'm your biggest hype person. Like I'm your hype girl, like I'm all for it. If you're winning, we're all winning. I just want all of us to win. And I'm that type. So for me, that's very, very important to have that in any aspect of your life. I think it's one of those things that's very, it's needed from the people that you love the most.
I want to know, did you take the traditional college route, or did you go straight into the workforce? What did you do kind of after high school?
After high school. So after high school, I actually did go to college. I attended Long Beach State.
That's where I graduated from.
Oh, wow. Okay. I went up, I regret it, of course, but I did go for about a year and a half. And then I kind of just stopped, got into other things and was just, I guess, kind of trying to find myself and what I wanted to do. But shortly after that, I actually went to a radio school, broadcasting school in Huntington Beach, because I would always get the, you love to talk and, you're like a, you could be a public speaker. And I would just get this a lot, so it was something that I started thinking about it. I'm like, and at that point I was really into sports. Like I like watched the NBA, like and I knew about every team. Back then, not no more, but back then I was really into sports and just listening to sports. Like for a female, that was, just it was different, right? So I got the original idea to, hey, maybe I can broadcast sports. We don't have women in sports, and I think that that would be, such a cool thing to, obviously now it's, we see women all the time and I love it. But that was your my original plan or career that I was going towards, and did finish, got my certificate and everything. But I lived in California, and like everything else, you got to start off, from the bottom and work, do promotions and work yourself up, right? But at that precise moment in my life, I just wasn't in the position to do like promotions, or at least, or have that extra time to do promotions or do volunteer work. Like I had to have an income, to, like you
Definitely.
said, to survive. So I really didn't do much with it, and I wish I can go back and, and change that. But hey, life takes you where you need to go, and so that's where originally was the plan, that fell through, and so then, I got into actually working with disabled adults. I did that for a couple years in California. Basically, we have a lot of high functioning, disability individuals that can still have a regular life like we do. And so this particular nonprofit agency, what they did was they had us basically teach them life skills, how to grocery shop, how to budget, how to pay bills, how just even from going out and just having a good time, watching a movie, things like that, where, hey, you don't have to heavily like rely on someone, like especially the high functioning ones, like you can do it yourself. It's just someone teaching them how to do it. And it was such a satisfying job. Like it was really, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing them progress and seeing how much they've improved and having jobs. Like, so it was a really rewarding job, and it's something that I enjoyed. And so when I decided to make the move from California to Nevada or Las Vegas, not only was it because of the recession that hit back in what, 08, but it was also I needed a new change. Things just weren't going the way that I wanted them to go, and I wanted to start brand new city, new life type deal. And so I came out to Vegas and I applied for something similar. It was a little more extreme because there were more like behavior issues. It wasn't something I was used to back in Cali, but hey, I needed a job and they were willing to hire me because of, of my experience. And basically that's what brought me out to Vegas. And I came out here alone. I didn't know not one soul out here, not one person. But it's something
What
that
made you pick Vegas at that moment?
I So my mom, it's funny because everyone thinks that I was the one that came up with the idea to move to Vegas when the recession hit and things, like I said, as a family, we're all kind of going through it. And we would come to Vegas a lot, obviously. Well, my parents would come out here a lot for vacations and stuff like that. So we always liked Vegas. We just didn't know more about it, right? We knew the strip, like everyone. That was it. But my mom came to me one time. It was like, hey, why don't we move? Why don't we move to a new state, start over? And I was like, but where? Like, where can we go? I don't want to move far away because we still had a lot of family and friends, in California. And she was like, what about Vegas? And I'm like, really? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm kind of iffy. Like, but the more I research, cost of living and again, she planted that seed. And then I started kind of like looking into it and doing my research, like I usually do. And once I looked into it and I was like, it's possible, this is doable. I was like, well, I'll be the guinea pig or the hamster. What is
Yeah, the guinea pig,
it?
yeah.
Yeah, the guinea pig, like that's fine. I'll come and we'll try it out and we'll see. And so again, that's where the support comes. She came with me the first 2 weeks that I moved out here and stayed with me because she was like, no, like I don't want you being out there by yourself. And that's the type of support that we're referring to, a non-transactional support, right? Where she was there for me, during that change. She wasn't ready because my dad wasn't ready yet, but she knew that eventually it was something that they would look into. And so once I got hired, I packed up, I don't an Oldsmobile. I had an Oldsmobile my parents sold, green Oldsmobile. To tell you that the AC didn't work, the windows didn't roll down.
Oh
I was
no.
moving out here August of 09, one of the hottest summers that Vegas has had. And I
Yeah.
didn't care. I packed my whole, my small car and I packed it all up. And it took me 8 hours to get to Vegas because the car also overheated. So talk
Yeah,
about a
that'll
struggle.
happen.
We had to pull over every hour, I think, to, put in
And
water, whatnot.
then it's just not cooling down. It's 1,000 degrees out. Like, it's just not supposed to happen. That's really funny. The last time I was in that situation was like maybe 3 years ago when I was getting Kino, our dog. I went and got him down in El Centro, California, down on the Mexican border.
Oh, okay.
And it was like July, and it was what, 106 out, maybe 110 out. And
Oh,
I
God.
went and picked this little dusty puppy up at some shady cartel house down there on the border, and like I got him. And then I remember like our AC was just out in the car, so I rolled the window down, and you know, it's just like a blow dryer in your
Oh,
face. Like there's
Lord.
no point in doing anything. So I just
No.
remember being like, "Hey, you better be worth it, little puppy, because like don't die on me or anything. Like you better be around for a while." And when we made it down to San Diego, we just went straight to the ocean and just like
Oh,
jumped in, and then we were like, "All right, it's a little bit better." But yeah,
we're good.
moving through the desert in an old car with no air conditioning, it I don't know, there's nothing more uncomfortable than that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know that story. I think just like my closest, friends and family. But when I do share that story, it's always like, "What? Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah," but I didn't care. Like, I was on a mission. I was on a mission to, again, just have a reset in life and start over. And so for me, it was like, I don't care what I have to do. I am getting to Vegas one way or another. And then surely, after 8 hours on the road, I made it, and yeah, it was a little difficult with the heat or whatnot, getting to work. 'Cause at that point, I think I immediately started working. I want to say that we probably drove in on a Sunday, and I think I had already like orientation on Monday or something like that. It was fairly quick, very, very quick. And so so those first 2 weeks were definitely a struggle with it. Well, the whole month, right? With the heat. But it's something that it's what is it? Mind, what is it? The mind over power type thing.
Mind over matter.
Mind over matter,
You got a
it's just
lot of
like,
just like half memorized quotes in there,
yeah,
huh?
oh my God. You know what? As I got older, my memory, I'm like, what is going on? I never thought I was gonna be one of those. I'm like, why did, huh, why, what, but I'm, yeah, like sometimes I'm like, God, I don't even know how to speak English anymore. And then it's just one of those things, like your brain is just thinking of so many things all at once, and
No,
then
I
just
feel
get
you.
that foggy cloud, and I hated it. I'm like, I need to drink some brain vitamins.
You know what's something that's like really cool that I've been understanding my entire life, but like I haven't. We're gonna get back on track into this Vegas story in a second, but I love this tangent because I want your take on it. I'm somebody that's always worked hard. Like I've worked full time since I was 13. You know what I mean? Like I've been going at a pace to where it's just comfortable, right? When people see all the stuff that I do on the course of, let's say, like a day or a week, they're like, "Hey man, we might want to like tone that down a little bit." And I'm like, "No, this is where I'm comfortable. Like this is what I like to do. This is gonna kind of this is my jive, right? Like I start businesses not because I want to like take vacations and start my own thing and, you know, be my own boss, let's say. When I get into my flow state, I want to be able to work 10, 12, 14 hours on a project. And as a kid, I only had like three or four real jobs before I started my own stuff and, you know, was up off the
Yeah.
ground. But I used to hate like working on something and then they're like, "Okay, your shift's over, go home." And I'm like, "We still got like 6 hours in the day. We can make some money." "No, your shift's over, go home." And I'm just like, that's not really how I operate. When I want to start flowing, we just go and go and go
And we
until
don't know
the
how to stop.
project's done. Exactly, right? So the quote that I heard a couple of days ago was by like Chris Williamson. He's another really famous podcaster. He runs Modern Wisdom. You should check that one out. It's a really
Okay,
good
we'll
show.
do.
And he basically said, there's no such thing. Let me pull it up because I wrote it down. He was like, "Hey, there's no such thing as, where is it? There's no such thing as being overworked, only underrested." So I kind of realized because I've always subconsciously been a big sleep guy. Like I'm a guy that I'll work all the time, but I'm not gonna like compromise eating or sleeping or recovery, right? Because I know, just been an athlete, I know how important it is to like, hey, if you're feeling sore, rest, right? Like, because you're not gonna get any gains, you're just gonna hurt yourself. And I knew that the mind worked in a similar way. So I was kind of like, what's your take on that? There's no such thing as being like overworked, just underrested. Do you ever feel that way?
Oh my God, all the time. And I get it all the time from my partner. He's always like, you need to rest. You're always moving, you're always doing something. And that necessarily means like with the business, right? Like just I've always been that way. Like I feel unhappy when I'm not moving. I feel depressed or not my best when I'm not doing something. So I have to be constantly productive. I don't care what it is, you know, like it could be like, oh, I reorganized the pantry and I feel so like accomplished. Like, okay, good. Like I, you know, something so small or something so big, but I also understand now how important it is to rest because it does catch up to you. And so when you don't rest and you're always on the go, 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 when it catches up to you, it might take you down for a couple of days. And I've been there. And so I had to try to balance that where, okay, just as much as you're going to put into work or whatever is that you're doing at the time, whatever project I'm working on, you also have to have that time to reset your mind, your body, you know, and that's been hard for me. Trust me. Like if it was me, like I can keep going 24 hours, like not sleep. I honestly feel like I only sleep 5, 6 hours, which is not, it's not healthy, I guess. I don't know, but that's just my mind. That's just, I, whatever I've tried, I mean, I tried everything from like the sleeping sounds, like, you know, just kind of like stop the brain, you know, and it just, nothing works. And so I kind of just accepted that that's just the way I'm wired. But I also have to be stubborn with myself and say, no, today you rest. Like when I say rest, you're not doing anything. You're literally just gonna rest and not think, not do. Obviously, you know, I'm still a mom, so I still have to do what a normal mom has to do, right? But nothing past that, right? No projects, or I really have to take that 1 or 2 days, because if not, then sometimes I feel like it is a bad thing to be overworked, and sometimes it takes the enjoyment out of what you're doing. And sometimes you don't execute the best when you're overworked. Like I feel that that's kind of what happens sometimes when you don't know when to stop.
What you're saying, you remind me a lot of like my mom, especially when I was growing up, because my mom's the type of lady who, let's say it's Christmas or if we're on vacation, let's say we're on vacation in Hawaii or something like that. My dad's super chill guy. He's like, let's just sit in a hammock for 7 days straight, get some drinks, have the party going. It'll be a good time. Whereas my mom's like, no, we need to climb every mountain. We need to like catch every wave. We need to see every single site that there is here. We need to try every restaurant, and we're going to do it all in 3 days, like under. And then, you know what I mean? So it's funny because I remember hearing like something with Denzel Washington saying, like, hey, don't mistake movement with progress, because like you can always be going in circles and always go, 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 right? And I'm sure, yeah, somebody like you who's going all day, you're definitely accomplishing a lot more, right? But my personality, I've always been a really good balance of like seeing that and seeing like my mom go all the time and just not even being able to sit down and watch a movie. Like, just sit your ass down and watch a movie, right? That's what I kind of have to say is like, hey, where are you going? No, she wants to like start knitting or beading or, you know, starting projects. And I'm like, no, like, you got to enjoy this, because as I'm maturing and I'm growing up, I understand that every vacation you take, at least I don't know if this works for your family, but it's always the stuff that we don't plan for that ends up being the most memorable. Like, oh my God, the car broke down or the car overheated, right? Or this happened, or can you believe that monkey stole my backpack or whatever? Like, the stuff that you can't really plan for, you have to like leave room open for that sometimes, right? And I think as a mom, and this is what I love to hear about, because I just have my experience obviously with my own family, but like you saying you're always on, and within business, how do you navigate like being a mom full time, right? With also running projects, and I guess, are you good at being organized?
So not the best at organized, I'm not gonna lie. It's not my what is it called? It's something that I have to work on. It's
Yeah, a
a work in
strength.
progress for sure. But I'm a doer, right? So
Okay.
for some reason, I work better under pressure, which I don't know why, but I do. So but I've been able to balance. I've been able to balance. In the beginning, it was hard because I was still working a full-time job and still doing events and still being a mom. And obviously my daughter was a baby. So that was really overwhelming and difficult for me, but I was doing, right? I did it. like I always do. But with, like in every business, trial and error, right? You start learning and what to do, what not to do. And so it became easier to balance it. You know, even with me lacking some organization skills, that I'm, that's one of my biggest goals is to get where I need to be when it comes to that, because I am just one person. Of course, I have a team that can assist me when needed, but most of the time, small business owners are a team of one. We do it all. We do the marketing, we do the prepping, we do the set, all that. It's just one person. And but it did become easier for me. I was able, especially with her being, she's almost seven now. So with her being a little older, it's become easier to balance and know when I can prep, and be a mom and still be able to do both sometimes if needed. But it definitely become easier, which is when you really start to enjoy what you're doing more, right? Because you have that balance. But it was difficult in the beginning. It was really, really hard. I was all over the place. I was just, it was just the event has to happen, and I'm just gonna make it happen one way or another. But it wasn't, like I said, you don't enjoy it when you're scrambling, to make something happen, especially because you're new at something. You just started this business. You don't know anything about it. You're learning as you go, basically. So it was definitely a struggle. But like I said, with time, it's just been obviously getting better and better, and we hope that I can get there, where it just, because it does make being organized, and it does make your life a lot easier. It definitely does.
And I'm going to take it a certain way that's like kind of opposite to what you're saying too, or just the way that your personality is. I'm a super planner, not a control freak at all, but I just know like just that I am kind of the glue that holds things together. Like, hey, I know if this doesn't happen at this time, so and so is going to get pissed off, right? Okay, but if in order to keep this, okay, let's do this. So almost like a director, right? Of
Yes.
hey, everybody has a watch, right? Okay, at 3 o'clock, we're going to be here. We have a 30-minute notice so that don't rush me. Don't do this. We have 30 minutes. I'm not rushing you. Just letting you know this is how time works, right? And sometimes I've found myself in the past like over planning. And I think that's a weakness as well, too, to where me thinking about doing this thing, I could have just been doing it, right? And that seems like the vibe that you're on, right?
Yeah.
Of I can think about setting up this project or whatever, writing this email, right? What's it going to say? What are the topics that I'm going to talk about? Or you could just open up the laptop, reach out to that person, write the email and hit send, right? Like, and I
Exactly.
think finding that balance, like you're saying, is so important because in the beginning of any business that you're going to start, A, yeah, you're not going to be very good at it, right? You're not going to be the most confident as you will be 3 years in, 5 years in, 10 years in to whatever your craft is, right? But the most important thing is getting those systems in place and just kind of learning, right? Like getting the reps in. And tell me a little bit about like what was some of the first things that you worked on where you were able to kind of be like, hey, did it work out? Like your first event that you planned, did it work out according to plan, or was it a complete shit show? How did it go?
Okay, so, and it's, and I'm glad that you brought that up. So originally, you see, when I started the business, it wasn't event planning. This is something that it went that route, right? In the beginning, I strictly was just the decor vendor, right? The person that just came in, set up a certain table or a certain look that they wanted and executed, and I was gone. Like, that was what I did, right? So that's where, and I think that's why the or organizing skills and has to, like, it's something that I've learned, because obviously in event planning you have to have that, right? I don't think that you can be a successful event planner if you don't have organization skills,
Yeah,
right?
it says planning in the title.
Yeah. Right. So originally the business, wasn't about that. The business was more so like, let me just see. Let me just decorate and be the maybe the event designer or something like that, and let's see where it takes me. Again, not knowing. And back then, I think before COVID hit, it was like the trend, dessert tables. That was a trend. Everyone wanted some type of displaying their desserts and the cake and some matching decor. And that's where the business started. That's where I started doing. is setting up tables, right? So there's not a, to be honest, I mean, there's not a lot to plan for that. Mine is just you knowing what design and picking out, you know, certain table linens and, you know, what decor you're going to put on the table and cupcake stands and things like that. So there's not a lot of planning that goes into that, you know. So
Yeah.
it's more so your vision. It's more so executing that look, you know, and knowing what you're going to do and grabbing those pieces that bring it all together and you bring it to life, right? So, but of course, you know, you have to be organized with your inventory and things that you have in stock. But the business was definitely not that. I didn't even know it was going to go that route. And of course, you know, COVID happened and it kind of paused for a little bit, you know, and then it picked up again and then new trends started coming out. And so what's difficult, not difficult, but what's the about this particular business is that you have to keep up with the trends, right? Because nobody's going to hire you if you're still doing the trends from, you know,
Yeah.
pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just this constant having to reinvest in your business with new trends, new decor, new items, and staying up, you know, on top of that. And so when the business started, event planning was definitely not my, it wasn't what intrigued me that what, or even, you know, just, or being like a coordinator, an event coordinator, because an event coordinator has a timeline, right? An event planner has a timeline, like boom, 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 right? So that wasn't what intrigued me to the business. I had no idea that that's even what I wanted to do or if I even was going to do it. But like I said, it was more the decor aspect. It's just kind of like an interior designer, right? They enjoy
Yeah.
coming into a home, seeing a blank canvas and redesigning everything from picking the furniture to the you know, to the rug, to any little detail that goes with it. And so
Oh, that's
that's
my
what I
least favorite thing ever in the world. Oh my God. If it's like a couch, I'm like, yeah.
I
I
don't
love
know.
that people are interested in that though, but because I just call somebody, I'm just like, hey, you got to let me know because I'm going to pick out the stupidest, whatever, like giraffe print, whatever to put in there. And like,
And they're
yeah,
like, that's
but
a big no-no.
yeah, exactly. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what matches what. I got contemporary with modern with like,
Yeah.
Spanish over here and like I just don't see it. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, well, there you go, right? So you either have an eye for something or you don't, right? So for me, that was what I enjoyed. It was me, you know, executing a certain look, you know, and again, just the decorating aspect is what I really love doing. Like I love it. Like I love seeing something or say they send me their inspiration and then me actually executing it and looking back at it and be like, wow. So after every event, it was rewarding. I'm like, oh, I could do this. Like I never knew I could, you know, like I always had an
Yeah.
eye for it, but I just didn't know, like, okay, this is what you're good at. Like this is what you've been looking for, you know, to do. Like, so it became where I was just a decor vendor, right? So I was on the event planners and party planners list to be like, okay, I can call her to set up, you know, our dessert table or set up our guest tables and, you know, things like that. And that's what I was doing for years. I want to say that I got into the event planning maybe 2 years ago. So it hasn't been a long time. And that was only because I had my loyal, you know, clients that had been with me since day one, where they're like, hey, like, you know, my wedding's coming up and now I want you to do my wedding. And I'm like, okay, but you know, I don't do it wedding planning. Like that's not, I haven't even gotten into that, you know. But they trusted me and they were willing to basically do it alongside with me, you know, where, hey, no, I want you to do it. Just this is what I want, you know. And so I had to kind of do that for my clients. Like I got into event planning and coordinating for them. It wasn't something that I enjoyed doing, or it wasn't something that I was like out of the blues, like, oh, I'm gonna start doing event planning or coordinating. It was more so that was needed. That was what was the demand was there from my clients. And so I was like, why not? I mean, I'm never gonna learn unless I'm, you know, unless I get into it. And of course, like everyone else, you have to learn every aspect of your business, everything. You know, I even started making desserts in the beginning. That wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't enjoy it at all. Let me tell you, I hated it. But again, I wanted to learn everything about it because I wanted to see how much I can do. You know, I like the challenge. And so for me, I was like, why not? why not try it out? And that's the reason why the event planning came about, was because of the demand. And because I was like, I should know. I should. This comes in hand with the event decor. So why not get into it? But let me tell you, I do give credit to those event planners, wedding planners, coordinators. Hands down, that's a whole nother ball game compared to just getting there, decorating, and leaving. It's something completely different. And they deserve a lot of credit, because it takes a lot of time to put an event together, and people fail to realize, like, that's why they charge what they charge.
And there's so much pressure behind it. The stakes are so high. I understand that, especially it's people's special days. They want it to be perfect or as close as it can be to it. I'll throw it out there. I'm a very minimalistic guy, right? Like, I'm definitely not a suit and tie. Some of the best weddings that I've been in, the best wedding that I've ever been in was in Hilo, Hawaii. My aunt was getting married. They had, like, I don't know, maybe 40 people there, 40, 50 people there. It wasn't a crazy wedding, right? It
Okay.
was in like the backyard of some, it's still Hawaii, so you know the vibe. It's
I was
nice,
gonna
things like
say, just
that.
you saying Hawaii.
But
That's all you
here's the
need.
thing, is a tropical storm just like ripped through on their wedding day. And it
Oh.
was like me, and I think I was like 16 or 17 at the time, like three other guys had to go out and just like fix the entire, like, it was just so muddy and gross. I had to put like cardboard and plywood, and we were like sinking down in our seats while the dinner was happening. And on paper, it was a horrible wedding or whatever. But as long as the DJ was able to dry his stuff off, we put a little canopy over, and we had the best day of our like lives. That's one of my favorite places to be, right? But if I'm the wedding planner and I tell you this is what's going to happen, that sounds like a terrible day, but that was the best thing ever, right? So it's, you got to
Yeah,
roll with the
no,
punches
and
sometimes, right?
seriously, yeah, and that's how it is. Sometimes they say less is more, right? I've witnessed some over the top events, and even with, clients having an event planner or coordinator or whatnot, they're probably stressed the whole time. Like, I'm talking about the client itself, right? And so for me, I feel like it takes the enjoyment out of the event, right?
That's it.
It really does, which is where we come into play. And so when I decided that I wanted to kind of offer full event packages, right? I was like, why am I limiting myself? I would show up to a client's house and set up, say, again, a dessert table, right? Or some type of backdrop for pictures. But then I saw that they had hired someone else to do the tables and, other aspects of the decor. And I'm like, do they, so in my mind, I'm thinking, like, do they think that that's all I do, right? I could have gotten, I could have done the whole, like, decorated the whole event. And so I started promoting full event packages, because I felt like I was missing out on that. Like, you shouldn't need to hire two, three people to decorate it. You should just hire one company and that's it. They'll take care of everything. And so I created these party packages to make it easy, where the client just shows up. You don't have, they don't, you just tell me the color scheme, the theme, just specifics on what cake you want or what desserts you want, and that's it. That's, I mean, there's no more stress to it, right? Then obviously you gotta pay. But besides that, it was a beautiful thing, and just them being able to just show up to the event and not have to worry about the food, or do this and do that, and I think that that's just having that peace of mind, from an event, not having that stress, because we've all done it, where we've done our own parties or our own events, and oh, the food and the drinks, and we forgot napkins, and it's just like, it's chaotic, it's really chaotic. And then so then when it comes down to it takes that enjoyment out of the event, because you're so stressed that you don't even get to enjoy it the way that you should be, or have a good time the way you guys had at that wedding, even with the weather. There's always going to be weather issues sometimes. Here we get the bad wind. I've had events where they want to have them outdoor, and I'm like, are you sure? It's like very windy. Like, the wind takes houses. Of course, it's going to take some balloons. Like, are you sure? And there's been cases where they're like, no, I want it there, and things have happened. But those are things that you just got to make the best out of a situation, and there's just things that are out of our control, but sometimes less is more. A lot of people want to go over the top, and I'm all for it. I'm extra. I like to go over the top and do custom things, and I'm that type. I get it, you know. So I totally understand that aspect, but I also understand the other aspects where I feel like less is more. Sometimes less looks so much nicer, you know. You don't got to do all the extras, and I think that you can have a flawless event and not have to like break the buck, you know, and still have a good. The whole point of an event is to have a good time and to have a good memories with your loved ones, right? That's
Yeah,
important.
and it's smart too, because I can't tell you how many times I'm spoiled in where like the women in my family have
Think you
just
just froze
absolutely,
again.
oh no, let's let it go. Can you see me? Let me know when you can see
Okay,
me.
yeah. Hold on. I saw
Can you
you and then
see
I
me?
lost you.
The
Let's see.
Wi-Fi. We're gonna let it. We're just gonna roll with it like we're talking about. Let me know. Can you see me?
I could
One,
hear you.
two,
Okay.
three.
There.
Okay, are we
You're
back?
back. Have
I guess it just
I
delays.
frozen or no at all?
No, you're good.
Oh,
Where
okay.
we've been rolling the whole time. So I think it just, I don't know, it delays. Wi-Fi is weird, right? But I
It
was saying I've been so spoiled with the women in my family and just in my life that like they've always taken care of everything. Thanksgiving has, I've never had to cook anything or, you know what I mean, make it happen. But one of my biggest things is when I do see like my sister or my mom stressed out about like banana bread or just the littlest thing, right? Like, oh no, the macaroni and cheese didn't do this. I'm like, everybody's having a great time. I'm stuffed. Like, I'm so full right now. I can't eat anything else. And this has been the best day
Exactly.
all year, right? But they're like, oh, but the cake, the icing's off a little bit. And it's like, you just gotta, like you're saying, so to kind of offset some of that stress when needed definitely is it makes the experience a lot more enjoyable. I want to hear a little bit more about how you met your fiance.
Oh, well, I actually he's from California as well, originally from Pasadena.
Okay.
And he moved out here when he was 11, I want to say. So he's been here longer than I have. But I actually met him through my younger sister. Yeah, she played Cupid in this situation. You know, her ex-husband, you know, fortunately they're not together anymore, but her ex-husband was really good friends with my fiance now. And so we met, you know, at a mutual function. You know, oh, hey, this is, you know, so and so's friend, and you know, just said hi, and that was it. I didn't think nothing of it. But after, like, I don't know. It's just kind of weird how things happen. But I was actually going when I met him. I was going through a breakup with, you know, with a boyfriend that I met when I first moved out here to Vegas. And so I was going, so it's crazy how you meet people when you don't least, when you least expect it. It's one of those things when you're looking for someone, you're not gonna find it. And when you're not looking, boom, you know, someone just kind of appears like, here I am. And so I was going through a breakup. So I was just kind of doing my own thing. So of course I started, you know, like we all do, we start going out. And so I started hanging, you know, I was hanging out with my sister, and she's like, oh, so and so invited me here. And then like two different functions, he was there. And so then, you know, he of course he pursued, you know, and but I was iffy because he was younger than me. I was 24 and he was 19 when I met him. So I was like, I don't know about this, you know.
That doesn't seem like that
Like
big of an age difference to me. You're acting
he
like it was
always says
like
that. He hates that I even say that. Yeah, he's like, oh my God, you make it such, I'm like, it's not a big deal,
4 years.
but but you know, but for me, I was kind of like, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm getting out of a relationship. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not looking to, you know. So we, of course, you know, we just started off as friends, you know, and then kind of progressed, you know, from there. Then at some point, we stopped talking, and then it was actually for my nephew's baby shower. He got invited to, which I wasn't even aware. And that's the next time I saw him, and when I saw him, I got butterflies, and I was like, "Oh no, I like this guy." I kept telling myself, "No, you're good, you're good," you know. And so from that point on, we kind of, you know, reconnected, and then it was his, 13 years later, here we are.
Yeah,
You know,
that's awesome.
we've been engaged for like 8 years, but I got pregnant. Oh, sorry, this what's going on here?
Yeah, I can still hear you just
Oh,
fine.
okay.
I saw it like
There we go.
bleeped out
Okay.
for a second. You
It
said
was
you got
weird, like
pregnant.
this call just came in. Like, I'm like, what? Sorry about that. Yeah, so What was I
You
saying? I
got
lost my train.
pregnant. You said you
Oh
got
yeah,
pregnant.
so we were planning the wedding, and we were actually going to get married in Puerto Rico. We wanted a
Ooh.
destination wedding. That's what we really wanted, because we would travel a lot before we had our daughter, and we went on a lot of cruises, and and we basically traveled all the Caribbean, and Puerto Rico was one of the places that we fell in love with, and we're like, why don't we just get married here? But then that same year, not only did I get pregnant, but then that Hurricane Maria hit. And
Oh,
so it was
yeah.
like, yeah, so it wasn't gonna happen. Like, it's just like, okay, it's out of the cards. Now, like, we're not getting, we're not preparing ourselves for a wedding. Now it's like, we gotta get ready to be parents. So then from that point on until now, we kind of just left the wedding on hold, just focusing, like, especially me, like, I was transitioning into the business. Because I was leaving a job that I had for 13 years. So being a mom, leaving that job. And it was just too many changes where just, getting married wasn't, unfortunately, a priority at that time. And then it was just kind of a thing that we never even talked about afterwards. Like, we were just, going with the motion as being parents. But I mean, we went together for a long time now. But that's, yeah, my
Hey.
sister was who connected us originally.
Hey, at this point, you guys might as well just hit the drive-through Elvis Chapel over there on the
Listen,
strip, right?
yeah, no, at the, exactly. That's what I told him. I said, I think like it's, I don't know if I want to do that whole wedding planning. And then now, even if I'm in this business, I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend 20, 30,000 on a wedding. I think I'm like, I rather like either start another business, or like we can vacation somewhere, us three, and or for 2 weeks and have the time of our lives. We can elope somewhere randomly. Like, I don't know. So that's probably, I think that that's a big possibility.
Yeah. One of the last things that I wanted to ask you about before we kind of start to close things out
Yeah.
here, and I've had a blast kind of hearing more about you too.
Oh, thank you.
Female entrepreneurs right now at this kind of stage in society, right? Your life looks very different from your mom's life, let's say, for example, right? To where you can take a guy like me, we get it. Oh, man wants to get into finance or whatever. There's 700 people I can go talk to and look up to, right? But like with your situation, even thinking about your daughter, the way that, you guys are supporting one another and using all the opportunities and not just being a mom, right? But also being a business owner and a leader and a this and a that and wearing all these hats that you're talking about, sort of who are some of the people that you looked up to that kind of gave you the confidence to know that you could really accomplish anything that you set your mind to, business related or non-business related? Like, was there anybody in specific that you really kind of took and pulled from to kind of make what it is that you're doing every day?
Oh wow, that's a good question. I mean, in my family, as far as like, no one really owned a business, right? Everyone worked like government jobs, or just we're always employed. So in that aspect, I really didn't have, anyone to really look up to, or to say, hey, like, I can do anything, right? This was something that I think I want to say just my experience with certain employers. So I want to say that my biggest push was when I did work the insurance industry. Like I said, I did work that for 13 years, and I started from the bottom, from a receptionist all the way up to basically managing the office,
Oh,
and
what kind of
having all
insurance
those
was it like?
like auto life, like it was a
Oh,
brokerage.
gotcha.
Yeah, business
Gotcha.
insurance, health, a little bit of everything basically.
Yeah.
But wearing like those different hats there, and I think that being and working for that employer is what opened my eyes as to you can have your own business. You can establish any business, and you just got to be consistent at it. Because I realized that, all the work that I put into building my portfolio with my insurance clients, I can do this on my own,
Yeah.
right? So to be honest, and my last employer was kind of who opened that door for me. I also thought of, opening up my own insurance agency. That was something that I thought about a lot. But the more that I did it, and the more years that passed, I was like, this is just, it's not a passion though. Like, yeah, it's a business, And it is a good business to have or whatnot, but just the love wasn't there for me. Like it wasn't something that I saw myself like, oh my God, I love and enjoy this, right? I did it because there was good money and I knew how much I can do, right? But that's what opened my eyes. I want to say that that experience from leaving that office and then going into a new office. So I worked there for 10 years and then went into a different office. But when I went into the second office, there I was, obviously I had my base and my commission and all that. But the new office, that was the first time I was self-employed. So I was going into this with no clients. I had to build up my book again. And you got to believe in yourself, because if you don't, then you're not going to get far. If you second guess it, you're not going to go far. And so I took that leap of faith and I was like, I can do it, right? Like I still have old contacts. Like I know what it takes to kind of build that up. And so I went in there self-employed, had a contract, the 50% commission. And I remember like my first month, I don't think I made any money my first month. I took an L. Second month, I think my first commission check was like $500 for the whole month, right? Because again, I had to build it up, but then slowly, then of course, I build it up once again in those 3 years, and I started making, a good income. And I was like, wait a minute, if I was able to do that for, from having a salary or commission or getting paid hourly or whatnot, to like not getting none of that and literally going from like you're starting at zero. And if I can do that, why can't I do that on my own in my own business, right? Like, and so that's really the influence that I had. Unfortunately, like I said, in our family, in our culture, we all work hard. And that's where we get the hard working, right? We're Hispanic. Like you said, we're just surviving, like just pay the bills and boom, and we're grateful with that, right? I always wanted more. Just like yourself, I started working at 16. I went in my own job. I got my first phone. I paid for it, and it was things that made me feel good. On my senior trip, I paid for my senior trip to go to Hawaii. I went to Hawaii actually for my senior trip. And so once I got the taste of that freedom, then I never stopped. So from 16, I'm 37 now, I haven't stopped, right? And so I took that same concept, of building that up into this new business. And so what I did, I was just kind of building the events business while I'm doing insurance. So working insurance Monday through Friday, weekends I'm doing events, right? And so once I started building that up, I was able to build it up where I had enough clientele, the consistency was there, and then my contract was gonna come to an end, and I decided, hey, it's now or never. You're only getting older. So at that point, I was like, I'm doing it. I have to put my 100% into my own business if I want it, if I want to have that, right? Like if I need to attain that, I can't half-ass it, basically, is what I'm saying. Because when I was, if you're still working a full-time job, how much are you really putting into the business, right? You can't. Yeah, you're only putting maybe 50% into it, and a business needs 100%, especially the first 3 years of any business, right? It's very crucial. So I think that was who motivated me. It was my last employer. That's who opened my eyes, where I was like, I always wanted my own business. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. For me, it wasn't even about the money. For me, it was loving what I did and having the freedom and flexibility with my time. And so that's what basically pushed me to take that leap of faith. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't want to work the 9 to 5 anymore. I wanted to make sure that I could pick up my daughter from school, I could drop her off, that I can attend every function at school. Like I wanted to be that mom. That's what I, wanted to be for her. And so for me, it wasn't about the money. It was more so the freedom, right? Of picking and choosing my schedule. And that's what led me there. And that's where we are.
1,000,000%. And I think the cool part about, like, let's say your daughter, for example, having you as a, what's the word? Inspiration, like a form of inspiration, right? And seeing the tools are like, hey, it's really not about the money. Like, it really is. A, my thing is people. Like, and now I'm actually learning to really start to lead with my heart a lot more, because I've spent my whole life just being, the tough guy, right? The up here between the ears is very solid. I can hang with the best of them, but up until a year ago, let's say, my heart, it was a little cold, I'm not gonna lie. I would always do the right thing, but I was a little bit like the Grinch, I would say. Like, now I'm the Grinch at the end of, like, okay, yeah, let's be kind. Let me go help this lady with her groceries. Before, I used to be like, fuck, I gotta help this lady with her groceries. But now I'm actually like, hold on, miss, let me get that for you. You know what I mean? Like,
It's
let
like
me get this
automatic,
and that.
right? It's
It
automatic.
is automatic. And then while I'm holding the groceries, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, who are you right now? But all right, like, it's the right thing to, and I know that, like, it's a much more peaceful life, and I'm not like tight and tense as I used to be, right? Throughout literally my entire childhood, right? But the important thing that you threw out there was like, hey, when it's not about the money, I think the two things that should be focused on is people. Whenever you take care of people, people always take care of you, right? Like, if that's your number one focus, is that's why I'm so confident, and you can drop me off in any city. I don't care. Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, New York, throw me anywhere. If I can choose, I'm like, give me the most amount of people, because I know that within that, whatever, I don't care if it's event planning, I don't care if it's sports writing, I could open up a bar, whatever I want to do, like, we'll get people. And once you take care of them, everything else just falls into place. And then the cool part about, like, your daughter, let's say, and the difference between, like, what she'll know versus what you knew, is whatever your craft is, whatever makes you happy, if you're the best that you can be at whatever your craft is, the money always follows, right? Like, I don't know. I guarantee you, the number one plumber in Vegas right now, that guy's a multimillionaire. Like, that guy has tens of millions of dollars. I just guarantee you, he's
Yes.
building the casinos over here, and he's got, like, over there in Summerlin, building the mansions. And, like, whatever it is that you're interested in, if you're an artist, if you're, I don't know, a painter, if you're the best at what you do, everything else falls into place. Is that something that you agree with?
Yes, 100%. I feel that, and then most of those, millionaires, business owners or whatnot, they were all workers at some point, right? They all started working for someone, and then they saw their potential, they saw how much they can do, and then like you said, just decided, hey, this is I'm just gonna go for it. And so for me, it's like you either go for it or you don't, right? Like if people can say, oh, I want to start this, I want to, that's all talk to me. I'm a talker, but I'm also a doer. There's a big difference, right? There's a lot of people that are just talkers. They just like to talk and they got these big dreams and stuff, but never, the consistency is not there. And with every business, if you're not consistent, if you don't put all your time into it, you're not going to get very far and you're not going to be successful. And so these people have become very successful because they've saw their potential, they stayed consistent, and they built their brand up. And I'm sure they had a change along the way, and just, but it's very important. And you know what? Anyone, like they say, right? Because there's always that dispute about a 9-to-5 worker and a business owner, right? And it's not to knock 9-to-5, because I was a 9-to-5, and I will never knock that out. If you're truly happy and you love doing it, who cares, right? Like, do it. Because I ultimately believe, and that's the one thing that I will instill in my daughter, is do what you love. Even if you think it's crazy. Like my brother jokes with me, he's like, oh, it's funny how you went from, because we're a big party family, he's like, it's funny how you went from partying, like to basically set up parties. Like it's ironic. And I was like, well, I mean, I was like, I should have known, right? A long time ago, that this is where I should have been this whole time. But I really do love what I do, and it shows, and clients can see that, and this is why it's that consistency is there, the flow of money is there, like the bookings will keep coming because you love what you do, and people see that, and when they see that, oh, they'll lock you in, and that's it. Like you're not going anywhere. So but it you are, I don't know, it's just you have to love what you do. I used to always hear everybody say that, right? Oh, do, it's like your passion, whatever you're passionate for, do that, and work shouldn't feel like work, and it's true. I never understood that until now, right? Because I worked jobs and I was like, I thought I loved it, but I was like, no, I really didn't. But now, and I'm sure like you enjoy the podcasting, you know, like it's not a job to you. It's just a part of your life. And if you don't have it with
It's
you,
a
then
job.
there's a
I
void.
hate it. We have 5 more minutes and could you imagine?
I'm
If I
telling
would.
you, we can talk all day.
Oh, could you imagine? No, the biggest thing that resonates with me is consistency. Like, I'm not saying this is the greatest show in America or whatever, but we're the most consistent. People ask, how many episodes do you put out on like a weekly basis? Fucking 8, 7, I don't know, 5
Yeah.
on an off week, maybe 4. Like, and
Yeah.
then that's that. What is that? That's, yeah, some people do once a week, some people do once a month, but I knew that like this is my craft. This is what I want to get better at, connecting with people, understanding, hey, why do you do this? Why do you like this? Tell me, how is it that you got into this, right? Because I know that someone's going to be listening. That's how, like, I used to literally just walk dogs for hours and hours and hours. That's how I paid for college, was pet services, training dogs,
Oh, wow.
walking them, whatever you needed for an animal, like that's what I knew. And just thousands of them did it over and over and over again. And that's why I have Kino here. And Kino is somebody that, like, if I was in a burning building, I wouldn't want a firefighter to come in. Like, don't send a firefighter and you send this dog in, he's gonna come and get me and bring me out. 99% of the time, he will go do it. If I don't come out with this dog, that means that nobody else is going to come out with me. That means that the building's going down because he's not going to give up. That's like the type of mentality that we have
Yeah.
here. And he's just like the cultivation of me spending 4 years training dogs at the highest level all day long when I wasn't in class. I see him and I'm just like, this is my guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's the consistency though with this show, is we're just gonna keep going and going and going until I don't feel like doing it anymore. And I haven't, we're what, 270 episodes in or something like that. And like, I love each episode more and more. So until I wake up one day and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm gonna keep doing it, right?
Exactly.
So.
And you're a people person, and I and I so am I. Like I've enjoyed everyone I've met, the experiences. I mean, you know, I've done events, you know, at mansions, you know, like, you know, I was in Devin Haney's house in his bedroom. I decorated his bedroom, you know, his ex-girlfriend, you know, hired me. I mean, I've done, you know, reality TV stars or whatnot, but it's just been able to experience that, you know, just who I meet, who I connect. Network is very important. This is the other reason too, that it was like perfect timing, because I feel like that's where I need to step it up, you know, more. You know, I'm fortunate enough that I have my clientele and you know, I have a decent following or whatnot, but of course we always want more, right? And so if you don't think outside the box, and if you stay in this box, you will always just be there, right? So if you're not consistent, and if you don't try new things, you never know where it's gonna lead you. And so for me, I'm all for that. And I'm all for, like, yes, like if a friend has, you know, some type of networking event, I'm gonna support her and I'm gonna show up. You know, I might not be the most comfortable there because I don't know anyone, but then that's the fun thing, is getting to know people and them getting to know you, and networking and you know, and sharing that information about each other's businesses or whatnot. But I mean, that's, you have to. That's if anyone is thinking of starting a business, you know, no matter what it is. Doesn't matter, post every day, stay consistent, because if you don't, then you won't get anywhere. Then you'll have to go and get a regular job. I've been fortunate enough that I've been self-employed doing just Cali Suite events for about 3 years now. You know, it's paying the bills and more, and I have the freedom and I love it. And I wouldn't change anything about it, you know, and I just want more. So we're gonna keep at it.
I love to hear that. And it's one of those things where like I've actually had to tone it down a little bit of being comfortable not being the guy that's in charge of the room, let's say, or not being, 'cause like sometimes I'd be showing up to events and I'm just like, all right, I guess I gotta light this place on fire, right? And then now I can walk into a space though, and obviously, like, I've never been a guy that can really hide. Like, I'm big, I'm charismatic, like, I don't really blend in well anywhere, but I can at least feel like it's okay. I don't have to be the guy with the microphone all the time. I can definitely pass the mic off when needed. And it's just so funny, yeah, when people are like, oh, go, I can't talk to that guy, or I can't do this. People are just people. Like, everybody puts their pants on. They all like have stomach aches. They all have sick days. Like, go up there and, I don't know, ask that lady about her kids, or talk about that dog, or you know what I mean? Like, just say,
Exactly.
hey, I like the outfit. 'Cause I can't tell you how many times I'm just walking on the strip or something, and I'm just like, hey man, I like those shoes. Like, where'd you get them? Right? Like, what do you got going on? Or, hey, those cowboy boots, man, you're rocking them. Like, tell me, I got to get a pair. And it's just,
I love people like that. I love that.
yeah.
I love
Com
that. Yes, and I'm that type too. Like I'll go to a grocery store and like the clerk or the cashier looks like they're in a bad mood. And I'm that type to be like, oh, how's your day going? And then their mood totally changes. And if I can do that, I'm all for it. Like I am the type that I'll meet someone and then they've told me their life story. And I'm like, I just asked how you're doing, but I mean if but I give that off, and it's
Yeah.
okay. And it's totally fine. Like I love it. Like if I can make someone's day a little better, we all need that. We all have bad days, and so, but you're right, we're all the same. We're all the same.
Yeah.
So, but I love that. That's amazing.
And one of the last, where we've kind of come to the point in the conversation where we get to ask my favorite two questions to close things out. The first one, you don't have to have an answer to. I just like to see if it takes us anywhere. I know we've already covered a lot today. And that's, is there anything that I didn't get around to asking you about today that you wanted to either highlight or maybe go in depth a little further on before we get things closed out here? It doesn't have to be business related. It could be a dream, it could be parenting. I don't know, anything.
I want to say maybe more business related,
Yep.
for me, I want to say I just want, the community or everyone else to know, the value of putting an event together. And I'm just speaking, from all my colleagues that do the same thing. And this is something that we always talk about, but just overall is how much time it takes to prepare and put an event together. I think that a lot of people fail to realize and think that it's something that, just the magic wand and everything just appears, but it's a process, and so if you're doubting if you should, put a, like basically book someone or pay this certain amount if you think it's worth it, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Because it's something that you're not going to do yourself. And it's a lot more than you think. And so I just want people to remember that it's kind of like a mechanic, right? Like you could buy all the parts, but the most expensive is the labor.
Yeah.
That's what's expensive. It's not maybe sometimes not the parts or sometimes the same, right? Same thing with event planning or decor or whatnot is yeah, the material is a certain amount of cost, but it's the time that I'm having to put into it. And this is not just the day of your event. This is prior. This is us shopping or ordering what's needed, prepping for it 2 nights before. And so it's a lot of time. And I think that a lot of people fail to realize how much time it actually takes to put an event together. And that's all I wanted to touch based on because I feel it's very important to know that hey, it is worth it. It is worth it. And you might not want to do it all the time, but if you do have a special event, it is worth it to put in that money, and pay a professional to execute that job that's going to just give you peace of mind, and don't see it as a value, don't see it as, oh, I spent, $3,000 on this event. Don't see it that way. See it as, oh my God, I showed up, my guests had a good time, everyone loved it, and that's what's important. The memories, that you're going to have versus, oh, this is how much I pay for it, and that's all you can think of,
That's something that I've been journaling a lot about over the past couple of months, pretty much the entire summer, where it's when you get out of that kind of survival mentality, right? That, like, oh my gosh, every dollar matters, or this or that, or just like, the like I was talking about, it's something that we don't control. It could be cultural. It could be, hey, this is how your family grew up, right? Or this is the status of the country, or maybe you came from a different area of the world where this is how it was. I challenge people, and this is something that like I am getting a real, I'm not saying I'm super good at it, but I'm getting better at measuring the things that a dollar can't measure. You know what I mean? As far as like, think about this. I grew up in Disneyland, right? It was, my dad told me a couple months ago, my like top of the line guest pass for Disneyland in the early 2000s was like $75 for the whole year or something like that. It was like $80 for the whole year, no blackout dates, no nothing, right? Now it's $80 just to like breathe air in the monorail going in there, right? So like it's what, a couple grand for whatever that pass that I had as a kid was. However, recently I've kind of now been like, hold on now. The happiness that I get going to Disneyland, I get, yeah, they're probably scamming everybody. I get it. For is it affordable? Absolutely not. But when I walk through on the Pirates of the Caribbean or the same Dumbo ride or the teacups that I've been on my entire life, the value in that I can't necessarily get at like Universal Studios. No shade to Universal, right? I just grew up in Disneyland, right? Like my roots are in that spot in that area because I've been going there for 20 years of my life, right? So it's one of those things where, yeah, like actually seeing value in the things that a dollar can't measure. They say, yeah, oh, money doesn't equal happiness or this and that, right? I think we hear those and we just kind of get a little numb to it. But the way that I put it for myself, of like, hey, what is the value in this that a dollar can't have? Like your experience, the party really is going to be better because you're going to remember this a lot more than, you know, you would if you did it yourself, right? And that's where I think that's where the value is. And it's just important for people to kind of take a second and maybe think a little harder on that or think a little longer on those things, right? Because that's what's special, right? Like if you sit around and imagine if you parented based on dollars. Like, how shitty of a parent would you be if you're just like, hey, we're not going to do these things because you're not going to like imagine all the learning knowledge that your daughter gets out of the things that maybe you guys don't calculate, right? It just happens. Like, that's how life works. And it's awesome. You're so special. And I thank you for taking the time to kind of come on here and share a little bit about what you guys have been building and, you know, your process and just who you have around you and what it is that you do. The final thing that I love to leave the listeners with is my favorite question. This is your time to shout people out, right? Shout the people out that you know. As you've been a part of Natural Thoughts and Talks, and you've kind of seen what it is that we're growing here and what we're trying to get out of the community, are there maybe two to three people that you know that you can think of that maybe are in a similar space industry-wise, or maybe they're a great parent like yourself, or they don't have to be just anybody with a really good spirit that is on fire like yourself about what they're doing? That's who I want to talk to, right? Is there anybody that comes into mind that you might want to shout out right now?
I do. I have a friend, Jenny. She's from Peaceful Events. We didn't start off as friends, just someone that I would rent certain items from. But we really, started a friendship, and we help each other out all the time because we can relate, right, to certain things that we go through within the business. And she's really helped me out throughout the way. And she's also helped me, with the whole organization, and she's really good at it. So I'm glad, because you need to have people around you that are going to elevate you. And I think that's very important, right? So that have that same hunger, that same drive, it does make a difference who you have in your circle. And so I definitely want to shout her out because she has helped me a lot. I mean, there's been time where, events, I'm short a person or whatnot, and she's came through, and likewise, right? I work the same way. And so I have appreciated, all the help that she's, she's offered and given to me, and likewise, let's see who else that in the industry. I mean, there's so many. I have so many, industry friends, definitely, I want to shout out the Grand Life. This was my first client that I got off of Instagram when I started my Instagram account. And basically, She's a business owner. You know, she owns different businesses, and then her son started the Grand Life, and they throw like puff and paint events.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a couple. Her name's Jade, and she's the artist, you know, the painter who teaches the class, right? And
What does
then
puff and paint mean? Do you like get high and then paint
yeah, so you
stuff? Okay,
basically
gotcha.
smoke, and yeah. Yeah,
Perfect.
and
That's
I've
exactly what I
done
thought.
they started this like 3 years ago, and so I came on board, and because I've known them for that, I know the whole family, you know, about 5 years now, but they've been my client, they've been my number one client, in a sense of since day one, they've seen me progress into what I'm now, and I've done all of their events. We're talking 30 plus events that I've done for them, for
Oh, that's
friends,
awesome.
for yeah. And they've been also like a big motivating, you know, just seeing everything that they've done and accomplished and things like that. So that's definitely, I really appreciate them because they've been in my corner and I've been on theirs, you know. So we have a really good a good relationship. But I think that's it for now from, you know.
Yeah. And this is a question where, like, when you're picking your daughter up from school or you're making dinner or something, people are going to pop into your head. You're going to be like, oh, I should have said so and so or
I
whatever.
know, I know.
Text them to me. I'm always looking for the people who are necessarily behind the scenes or in the shadows, or the people who definitely, if I was like, hey, come on my podcast, and they're like, I don't have anything to say. Those are the people that I like to talk to because they, yes, everyone has a story. Everyone has something to say. And I have so much experience doing this. I promise you, if you came on and like shat the bed or something, I'd be talking to myself for an hour. Like I've done that before where I've been like, all right, I guess this is where my thoughts are on quantum physics or lasagna or something like that. So
Exactly.
it, obviously that didn't happen. I think we created an amazing episode for the listener, and hopefully we'll have you back on sooner rather than later.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. But I think that I can't wait to listen to listen to ours, and like I said, I've never been a podcast listener, but I think you just got a new listener for sure, for sure. And I
Hey,
look forward to the next time that we can chat again.
one at a time, definitely. This has been another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye.